everyone. This is CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. In this segment, we are going to continue our conversation on crows and about Halloween. And we have today Dr. Stephen Farmer, who has written several books, including his most recent one called Earth Magic, which I have been reading over the last week and had so much fun. Thank you so much for sending the book. It was a blast. Welcome, Dr. Farmer.
Well, thank you, CJ. I enjoyed being on your show.
I have to tell you, it's been, my husband and I had our 15th wedding anniversary, and we decided to go to Salish Lodge, which is in the forest here in Seattle. And for our anniversary, I said, I'm reading a book, and I think it would be so much fun if we would play this CD. And it's your CD from your first, I think, one of your original books, Power Animals. And
right.
It's a CD where you have some drum beating, and you go through and you find your power animals. So we found our power animals, and I said, and then we read it, and we just got a total kick out of reading about our power animals. And then we walked and did like a 2.5 hour hike or 3 hour hike through the forest as our power animals. So we had a fun.
Perfect.
We had a lot of fun with your book and the CD, and it's a treasure. So thank you for writing the book. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you, and I got to say congratulations on your 15 years.
I know.
What an achievement.
It is. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about ravens. In the previous segments, we were talking to Josh Klein, who has spent 10 years of his life just watching ravens because he's find them fascinating. And I wanted to talk to you about what moved you to kind of go even in this path of power animals and what you've learned about raven yourself.
Certainly. I'm not sure where to start other than perhaps talking about what power animal really means.
Mm-hmm.
There's a general term called animal spirit guide. That's any animal that shows up to you in an unusual way or repeatedly. And whether that's the physical animal or the symbol of the animal, such as in dreams, or you open a book, or you hear somebody talking about the animal, and especially repetition. And power animal really comes from shamanism. It's the shaman who sends his or her, but I'll say his, consciousness to a place called non-ordinary reality, always is accompanied by an animal spirit guide that we call a power animal. Animal spirit guides can show up anytime. They might stick, you know, they might show up for a week or two or maybe a month. But power animal really is an enduring relationship. It's one that you have for many years, typically. And it's my belief, as you discovered with your husband, it's not necessary to be a shaman or shamanic practitioner to discover that there is a spirit animal, an animal spirit guide called a power animal that really can work with you throughout your life. Literally throughout your life. Sometimes they stick around for a lifetime, sometimes at least for several years.
Hmm.
The CD that I think you're referring to is in the back of the book, one of the earlier books I wrote called Power Animals, and it's to find your power animal.
Mm-hmm.
I also have another CD called Messages from Your Animal Spirit Guide, where you go to an animal spirit guide to find out, you know, information on a question you may have. They really provide a lot of guidance. I've had stories of power animals that would work with someone on their healing. There's a great story, in fact, in the book you mentioned, Earth Magic, about that Japanese fellow who had a very serious illness that a wolf came to him in a dream, and then he wrote me, and so I wrote him back, and he continued to work with this wolf, his wolf spirit. It's phenomenal what an animal spirit guide can do for us, and specifically a power animal.
Yeah, and what's intriguing to me, my husband and I went on a run today, and I said, why don't you, in the second half of the run, just give me meditation? He's like, what? I was like, I don't know, just give me meditation.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So we were running, and he gave me, oddly, and not surprisingly, actually, in a synchronistic way, he gave me a meditation where he was tuning into earth energy, and he was saying, well, why don't you tune into being an animal? Like, humans are animals, and we're here on the earth, and we forget that we are part of nature. And so that was part of my meditation that he gave me while we were running.
Oh, beautiful.
And, yeah, it was really, really cool. And I think what was cool about the work that you do, and I think that's so important, is that I think that somehow, and you mentioned this in your Earth Magic book, that we've severed the connection that we have with animals. And in fact, they offer a huge amount of guidance, and in this gentleman's case, healing as well, and I guess all of our cases. But we've kind of lost connection with it. And I think that's what's happened.
Yeah, and that's part of really the, I would call it the inspiration behind my work. And inspiration is literally means breathe spirit in. And I really trust the spirit guides that have come to me over the past several years, and refer to them also to check in on, this question or that question, or just, you know, hey, what's going on? What do you have to tell me? That sort of thing. But mm-hmm. The beauty of it is that we can, as we begin to understand how to connect with not only the animals, but the animal spirit guides, the spirit of not just that animal that shows up, but the entire species is really coming through that animal. And let's say the crow, since we're talking about crows and ravens, the crow that lands right in front of you as you're sitting outside 4 feet away and looks right at you, what's going on there? Well, mm-hmm. One possibility, at least in my world, in a lot of people's world, is you're discovered too, CJ, is that there's something more going on than meets the eye, as they say. And that's that the spirit of Crow is trying to reach you and teach you and give you a message.
And what you're referring to, I think, and the people may not know, Stephen and I had an earlier conversation, and he's like, what's up with you and crows? I think I said, yeah.
Right.
And so I'll tell, just to provide a little bit of context, because I do have a fascination for crows, and it really was during a time unfortunately, my dad passed away almost a year ago. It was 16 years ago on October 27th, and as he was passed, I was very, very close to my dad and someone who I love dearly. And so it was just a heartbreaking moment for me to have to go up and do a eulogy. And I needed all the strength that I could get. And I thought, please tell me, Dad, give me some type of signal that you're here with me, because I will absolutely need your love and presence here to deliver this eulogy. And I just sat there, and I was just had my head hanging between my arms. And I was like, what am I going to do? And within moments, these two crows came out of nowhere, and it was as if they were talking to me. And it was just, it was so comforting, because it was at that point that the connection between what was happening to me and the animals, it all became one. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
oh,
that's
absolutely.
For me.
Absolutely.
That's when I became a true believer in it.
Yeah, that's when you kind of, you know, it's interesting, because one of the meanings, and I got to say, qualify this by saying, it's not always that you the same message every time a specific spirit animal shows up, like in this case, crow. But often there are some common kind of messages that mm-hmm. will be that are being delivered by that particular spirit animal, and I stress spirit animal. And in this case, they showed up embodied. Mm-hmm. You know, as crows. Now, it's a couple of things. One, you asked, and this is what you received. You received crow. So there's two things going on there. One is, I really believe this is, I cannot tell you how many stories, CJ, I've heard of when someone has lost a beloved, you know, a deceased relative, parent, whatever. There's so many stories where particularly a bird will show up in a very significant way. Or the woman that had lost her father, and she was walking along the beach, and then she noticed out in the ocean there was a dolphin swimming along with her, and immediately she got from that spiritual side of her mind the message that her father was okay, and that he had sent this as a courier, as a messenger, just like I believe that the spirit of your father, God rest his soul, also sent this to you. And in part because you asked. The second thing that's going on is that there is a message there typically, and it could be one of maybe a few different kind of messages. Often it's that when crow shows up in that significant way, it means that you're on the verge of a big change.
You know,
that could completely transform your life. And based on what you said in our earlier conversation, absolutely. That was a message from Crow also, in addition to your father's spirit sending that along to say, hey, I'm okay. I'm okay, honey. I'm doing fine. But I don't have a body right now, so it's a lot easier. So, God, anyway, I'm glad that you had the wherewithal to ask and the wherewithal to pay attention, which is what's required. And the other thing I just would add to that, I think when we begin to pay attention to the, not just the animals that show up in our life, certainly that, but and that we are connected to them in a very, very, very basic way. Our physicality we're in an animal body, basically. Mm-hmm. Even though we have this kind of self-reflective consciousness that both is our greatest gift and sometimes our greatest curse. We have this connection with the natural world that's been forgotten, I would call it. Mm-hmm. It's never been really, use the word severed, and I would say it's not really been severed, but it's been forgotten. We've lost mm-hmm. our way, and it's coming back to us in many, many different ways, such as your own transformation, if you will, that was triggered by the visitation of the crows, beginning to look into this and explore this and investigate this. And this is going on all around, is where people are starting to go, okay, well, you know, maybe we are part of this web of life. You know, we better pay attention to the natural world a little bit more closely, and not just the physical part of the natural world, but the spirit, the life force that's in everything on this beautiful, beautiful, tempestuous planet.
Beautiful. On that note, thank you, Dr. Stephen Farmer, author of Earth Magic, and offering a different perspective on how we can relate to animals. So next segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about Raven and Crow, and also about Halloween. So stay tuned. You can listen to later on the show and find us on iTunes or on www.firedupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary, and live an inspired life.
Hey, Mary, I haven't seen you in so long. You look so different. What happened to your glasses? Did you have surgery?
Whoa.
I never noticed how blue your eyes are.
No, I didn't have surgery, and I don't have to wear glasses anymore. I searched the internet, and I found a website. It's called BetterEyesightNow.com. It is the best thing I have ever done. There's a program called Regaining Your Vision Naturally. And, oh, by the way, it helps reduce stress. You should check it out. And you might be able to get rid of your glasses. Go to BetterEyesightNow.com.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera. Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low-cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
Hi, I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fired Up with CJ on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today, on episode 4 of our 4-part series on crows and Halloween, we have Dr. Stephen Farmer. And he is the author of a recent book called Earth Magic, as well as a wonderful set of cards and other books about power animals. Welcome back, Dr. Farmer.
Well, thank you, CJ. I look forward to a further conversation.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about Halloween. Tell us about the origins of Halloween and what you know about it.
Oh, I get excited talking about Halloween because, first off, I think if I had to choose a holiday, I'd say it's one of the top three, if not my favorite. And it's not because of the dressing up and going out and all that, because we do that, my wife and I do that with our children. And other children, nieces, nephews, et cetera, that come by. What fascinates me about this, CJ, is the origins of Halloween and how it's grown into this this party. Halloween, which is fine, you know, nothing wrong with that. But I think it helps to understand that there's something else going on besides, you know, kids dressing up and going trick-or-treat at the doors. And here it is. It's believed, especially in the by the old Celts, the Celtic world, that the veil between the living and the dead is at its thinnest right about that time of year, right about November 1 and 2. And I know it kind of gives a lot of people gives the creeps, but here's the deal: it really was a festival back in those days where you welcomed the spirits of your ancestors. And the way you would do this would be perhaps to set up an altar. And I encourage people to do this, an ancestral altar, where you put items or pictures or photos of those who have come before. And in doing so, what you do then, you set out something that maybe you know that grandma enjoyed this particular kind of treat. Like a friend of mine, a Hispanic friend of mine who originated from Mexico, she said, yeah, we have that festival, El Día de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we set up an ancestral altar, and then we set out, she says, I set out for my abuela, my grandmother, pieces of tortilla and a few other treats that she used to like. Obviously not that the spirit's going to come and eat those, but as she put it so elegantly, she said they come in and they see it and they smell it and they go, oh, that's great. Thank you. Thank you for the treat. That's really great. You see,
is that torturous for them? I would think it'd be torturous for them. I'm like, oh, if I only could eat this thing.
It would be, I suppose. But I think more that they're not in the body, so they don't really need the food. But more that it's an honoring of the ancestor at a time when it's more likely, you know, based on this mythos, it's more likely that they will come and visit at that time. Mm. Now, what's happened is... it also, the Celtic name for this ancient festival, and it's in Gaelic, is Samhain, and it's spelled in this funny Gaelic way, S-A-M-H-A-I-N, but it's pronounced Samhain. And it was considered by the Celts to be the most important festival of the year. And it's also the initiation, because Samhain literally means summer's end. You know, the seeds have dropped into the ground. You know, we're starting to see the change of the light is much, much more apparent to us. The days are getting longer. I think 2 days ago, or a few days back, I should say, back in the early part of October, there was the days were equal. Exactly, the sunset was exactly the same time as the sunrise, 6:42 a.m., 6:42 p.m. And now the darkness is coming. You know, it's deepening, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So Halloween, interestingly, actually means holy evening.
Oh.
See, that's another thing that fascinates me, All Hallows Eve. The hollow, H-A-L-L-O-W, if you can remember, and the listeners can remember the prayer, hallowed be thy name, holy be thy name.
Mm.
And then you take the last part, E-E-N, it's a truncation of the word evening or even. So Halloween, holy evening. So what we now see happening is sort of stripped of its original meaning, and yet we see
I would definitely say that now it's about going running over to the drugstore or Costco and getting like 5 pounds of candy and giving it to your children on a sugar high.
Yeah,
the whole evening is somehow been distorted. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's funny, because that's my little stepdaughter, 6-year-old stepdaughter Ariana, for the last 4 weeks is saying that's her favorite holiday. I think maybe she's Celtic somewhere, past life or something. She keeps going, how long is it before Halloween? And we have to tell her she's doing the countdown, you know, because she gets to junk out on sugar.
That's true. So what's so holy, yes, aside from her worship of sugar? What's holy about that day?
Yeah, Reese's peanut butter cups, you know, we'll go for those. Or milk chocolate almonds, you know, yay. I hope somebody gives those out. Anyway, so that's really the roots of it. And, of course, we're seeing the echo of it in the trick-or-treat. You know, ghosts and goblins come to the door, and if we don't give them treats, they trick us. You know, you can see where that the origins of that has come from. The other thing is that the All Saints' Days and All Souls' Day, November 1st and November 2nd, typically follow Halloween. It's an overlay of that original festival. Again, the belief is that, depending on who you talk to, but the belief is that during the November 1st, All Saints Day, some say that's when those spirits or ancestors who have gone to heaven, we honor them in some way. So again, you hear the word ancestors. The second day, November 2nd, is those that didn't quite make it to heaven, but we still want to honor them. That's All Souls Day. Sorry, guys, but we'll get you on the November 2nd. You know, November 1st, we're going to do it for all the people that made it.
Anyway. I see. Okay, so I get it. This is how it's merging in my head now. Now, the little girls who come as ballerinas and saints, and then there are little girls who dress up as devils, and then there's the ghosts and goblins.
There's some connection. Some sort, yes.
It is.
The pirates and the ghouls and the goblins.
Exactly.
We were in a Halloween store yesterday, and we were trying on all these masks. It was a great fun. There was one, had to be a teenager. I'm sure he was probably about 16 or something. And he had on one of these old scary masks from one of these horror movies. And he was going around trying to scare, you know, everybody. And then unfortunately, there was a little 2-year-old that just turned the corner right and faced this kid. All of a sudden, the 2-year-old's like freaking out, you know, oh my God, Mom! Anyway, I don't think that was really the original intent of the Celtic festival. But,
you didn't go to him and like, dude, this is supposed to be a holy day, holy evening.
Yeah, right. This is holy, you know. No, it's scary. It's time to be scary. Go to Knott's Berry Farm or Disneyland or something to get scared.
Exactly. So, celebrate on November 2nd with that kind of energy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, save it for the 2nd. You know, my friend the lady that I spoke of, the Mexican woman who I spoke of, friend, she said that she had a different take on November 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And hers was that on November 1st is that it's to honor the children that have died, you know, deceased, still ancestors, but the children, it's a way of honoring them. And then November 2nd would be the adults. So I think that's another representation of those. But again, it all circles back to that time of year when the veil is the thinnest and we can make some contact of some sort with ancestors.
Well, that's thank you so much. This is so much fun. Little did I know what Halloween was all about. So thank you, Dr. Farmer. Make sure to read the book, Earth Magic, and listen to, we actually have a previous episode that we're doing on October 6th, talking all about Dr. Farmer's book. So tune into that. Thank you so much for your time. Remember to have a great Halloween, everyone. Thank you again, Dr. Farmer.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.